Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
Hello. My goodness. We have a program set for you today. We're encouraged and excited. You know, in times past, we've talked about, Pat, the citizenship test that many people that want to become citizens of our wonderful country take so that they can become, you know, part of our country.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of talk right now in Washington, D.C. about a path to, for people that are here illegally to become citizens and what they have to take. And this test is a wonderful test because what it does, it talks about American history. And we took the test. We were born here. We took the test to see how much we actually knew in regards to history, in regards to the things that people have to take this test every single, you know, every single year, you know, many times throughout the year. And so we're going to give you the opportunity to enjoy as we kind of went through a Jeopardy type of game where we answered five questions and Greg moderated. Mm-hmm. And we had the chance to put ourselves on the spot. But this is a wonderful opportunity to, one, educate yourself, but also, two, you may know someone who needs to study for the test. This is a fun way to study and get some facts and information that you can learn that really is pretty powerful. Enjoy as we get ready to share this for you. Have a lot of fun.
It is time for us to be able to celebrate by having the citizenship test for the United States of America. Hold on a minute. Listen. Understand this, that we are at question 21, and it's 100 questions that you have to pass to be able to become a citizen of the United States of America. We are just so encouraged because Pat and John were willing. I don't know how they found out it was a multiple choice test. Only God knows if they went and looked at the test, but they shouldn't have known that it was a multiple choice test. They've been studying, obviously.
No.
Yeah. Okay. No. Good. And, but I'm going to ask you these questions, and we're going to just do five. We only do five at a time. And it's for you, you know, to listen and just think, you know, do I know the answer to that question? Because if you want to be a citizen, it'd be cool. It's like if you want to be a congressman, you need to be able to pass the citizenship test for America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you have to bear fruit that you believe the answer that you gave.
Mm.
And that'd be cool. That's just a simple 100 questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Vito's got to answer the questions to become an American citizen, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, it's you should have to. We all should have to answer this. And I'm learning as we go. I'm really learning myself that Pat and John don't know too many of these. No, I'm actually learning. I'm learning myself, you know, as we're going on. There's, sometimes I study better when I help people study.
Oh,
when I help people study.
Is that how it works?
And I'm thinking to myself, I am so glad I'm not taking it on air, but I'm giving it on air. And what we're going to do is, so today's, we're going to ask five questions. This is the next part of the citizenship test. He's already in his third eye already. He's looking down. He's looking deep thoughts, you know, like something's there. And so we are going to ask the question. Don't just answer it right away. You need to think about it. You need to think about it because it's going to be your final answer when you give the answer. So when you say you're ready to give your answer, just let me know. And then we will all listen. People all the way from China to California will be leaning forward to find out if you deserve to be a citizen of the United States of America. They're going to be one like, I knew that. They don't even need that place in America. They need it, you know, my goodness gracious. And
no
so,
pressure, Pat. No pressure.
No pressure. And of course, if you get it right, you know, I'm sure our audience will just applaud and all that. And if you don't, of course, you're going to hear. And if you take a second attempt at the same answer and it's wrong, you're still going to hear. We didn't know that until Pat tried twice. And John, I was listening to you. John says, just give it up. Just give it up.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of our listeners are actually enjoying this segment. I tell you, they're all over it on Facebook. I'm glad we have great participation here.
And it's so good. I mean, we all need to learn this. It's like, who are we? Yeah. We've been talking about people saying, hey, you know, you don't have a right to be a citizen. It's like, do we have a right to be a citizen? We don't even know these things, but we're learning them, we're knowing them. We're going to get back to the original tent of America. We're going to actually not only have the Constitution, but we're going to read it. And we're going to learn what it's about, and we're going to have a lot of fun while we're doing it, and that's what we're doing right now. It's just having fun with it, but we're learning at the very same time. So the first question, of course, is going to go to Pat. The first question, because he always wants to go first.
Oh,
and I think it's John's turn.
He's very competitive. You need to pray for Pat. He got so serious. I was like, oh, my goodness, I think he's going to hurt somebody.
Oh, he gets intense.
You know, we prayed for Tracy over the whole situation. You know, that his poor wife, you know, those are my pancakes. I want those pancakes. And so
chili cook-off, chili cook-off.
The chili cook-off. Exactly, exactly. Well, here is the first question. The first question is going to go to Pat. And it's very, very important. Very, very important. I can't even remember how many you've gotten wrong so far. But you need to get this one right if you want to be a citizen of the United States of America. Here's the question. America, listen, here it is. The House of Representatives has how many voting members? The House of Representatives, which you know what it is now, has how many voting members? Okay, here it is. This is for your citizenship. No pressure. No pressure. The question is, Pat, as you're rubbing your forehead, is the House of Representatives, which you know now how it's made up, right? You understand how it's made up.
Mm-hmm.
And that it has how many voting members. So you already know how it's made up, right? How the number is picked, right? We talked about that last test.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the population, right?
Correct.
Okay. So now how many then does the House of Representatives have in voting members?
I have no idea. Oh, two. Okay.
It has exactly 234.
Yeah, and it was over 200, but I didn't know.
No, it actually has 435.
Oh, it's 400?
It has 500.
Oh, my.
No, it has 400. I'm messing with you. It has 435. 435, and of course, six are non-voting when you're talking about D.C. and all that. So 435. Now, out of that, 234 of them are Republican, and 201 of them are Democrat. I think a handful of them are independent. I don't know how many that is. But that is Congress, and they're determined by population. So you think about it. You take the 435 Congress, House of Representatives. You take the 100 senators, right?
Senate. Mm-hmm.
So that makes how much? 535, right?
35.
And then you add the president on from the executive branch, right? Mm-hmm. How much is that? 536?
Mm-hmm.
So 536 people are leading, what, 300 million?
Mm. Well, the vice president.
536. He's not supposed to be doing well, yeah, he's on.
He breaks the tithes and
Senate. He breaks the tithes and all that. But understanding that that's how few they are. Under 600 leaders determine where 300 million people are going. People go, I just feel so, you know, they're just telling us what to do. And it's like, dude, you're 300 million people.
Yeah.
You can choose new leaders.
That's right.
You're the government by the people and for the people. It's only 530-something people are telling 300 million what to do. Listen, and it's a representative government. You got a constitution that's for you. We can change these few people out and put people in there that stand for our value system.
Yeah, that's right.
Why should we say, oh, I just feel so overpowered? And it's like, come on. It's less than 600 people, and there's 300 million of us. And the Constitution is for us. It's for us. We don't have to just throw our hands in. Of course, it's going to be us, you know, as a church repenting, you know, for where we've allowed it to be. But it's so, so very important when you're thinking, you know, 536, 537 leaders in Washington are determining what direction that we're going in as a country. And people so often just go, well, the government, like it's some big, huge monstrosity right. telling you what to do. And it's like, no, and not only that, but we can easily just switch these 500, 600 people out and mm-hmm. have a whole brand new direction for our country. That's what's so wonderful about America. You know, if you don't like the direction it's going in, vote a new one in. Mm-hmm. And if you like the direction it's going, support the direction that it's going. That's part of a government by the people and for the people. So you got that one wrong, Pat. John, we're going to go to you. We're going to go to you. And I mean, a lot of people would have got it wrong. I mean, think about it. That's so close. John, what color is the White House? No messing with you. I was just watching.
That's about right.
I was just watching his face. It's like,
oh, you know he was coming undone.
Oh my goodness!
Throwing in that chair.
You should have seen it, man. This is rigged. This is rigged.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, right. John, here's a question: the USS citizenship test. This is very important for your citizenship. And listen, you need to be self-deported, you know, to Syria or Iran. You know, part of the Green Party. I'd go ahead and mail papers. I won't be part of the Green Party in Iran. Here's the question. We elect a U.S. representative for how many years? We elect a U.S. representative for how many years? All right, my goodness. So here we go. This is going to be your final answer, right?
My final answer.
So the question is, for all of our listeners, they can hear and Pat can understand, you got the more difficult question is, we elect a U.S. representative for how many years?
4 years.
Are you serious?
Oh, my goodness.
Did he say, are you serious? Did he just say that?
Can I do it?
Look at that. All right. Pat, this is the question is, and all of our listeners, if we can see that Pat is trying to leave John in the dust right here. By the way, you can pipe in, I guess.
Redemption.
You'll have plenty of opportunities to do this with him, believe me.
Tell him who the senator of Florida was.
Marco Rubio.
Yeah. Okay, Pat. We'll let you celebrate this as you're moving with fruit as a Christian. Is we elect a U.S. representative for how many years?
That would be two.
Hey! I mean, you think about it. That's so important. You know, when you think about the Speaker of the House right now, John Boehner, is only there for 2 years, but people act like he's there forever.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important because that means that's the freshest sampling of who we are. The most example of who we are as a people is the House of Representatives. It's not the president. It's not Senate, because those are through popular type votes, even though the Electoral College is in there for the president. It's still, you know, whoever can get out the vote and push the percentages up. But the House of Representatives, they got to run every 2 years, and they got to be accountable to the people.
Yeah.
And so we want to really find out the heartbeat of America. You talk to the House representative. Listen, the Speaker of the House is the third man in charge.
Mm.
If the president and the vice president didn't survive their offices, if they got sick, for example, then the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, is the third in row to serve as the president of America.
Wow.
And it makes sense, because that's the biggest sampling of who we are. I mean, obviously Congress is. I mean, House U.S. representatives are, and they chose through their seniority type situation to be able to choose Boehner. Boehner obviously might not be the best person, but at least that's just some sort of, you know, picking of who we are. But also that means Nancy Pelosi was third in line for the presidency during the first 4 years of President Obama. So it would have been President Obama. Well, I don't want to tell you who the vice president is. That's the next question. I'm going to tell you that. So, Who gets this question? I, you know, Pat just kind of jumped in and kind of threw me off. Okay, Pat.
You don't want it?
He stole your thunder.
I'll let you have it.
The son of thunder stole your thunder. Mm-hmm. Pat, how many words are there in the United States Constitution?
Okay.
This is good, John. This is really good. This is really good.
Let's see.
Take your time. I'm sure it's a doozy.
Name, Pat, name your U.S. representative. Name your U.S. representative. All right. This is your final answer.
Final answer.
Final answer. Okay, Pat, this is the question for the U.S. citizenship test. Mm-hmm. To be able to be a citizen, mm-hmm. so you don't have to self-deport, is... Name your U.S. senator.
You said representative.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Very good. That's right. That's right. He didn't do that one. Right, that's right.
But if we're going to go back, it's Mark Rubio.
And name your U.S. representative.
That would be Jeff Miller.
Hey! Oh, my goodness.
Oh, come on.
Speaking of Silent Night.
Isn't
he right. The silent representative. Do what?
Isn't he your neighbor? I mean,
yeah,
Jeff
no.
Miller?
What's Jeez. So cool is that, John, we're going to allow you to name your U.S. representative. All right, John, this is for the citizenship in the United States, so you don't have to self-deport. Who is the House of Representatives representative for your district? Passaic, right?
No, Bergen County.
Okay.
Is it Pascal?
I don't have a clue, man.
Wait, is it by default?
You have to check it out. I don't have it there because you think about it. There's 435 of them, and I have no idea because it's such a local representation. You're gonna have to find that out for us, and our listeners can find it out. What county is it?
Bergen.
Well, it would be a county. It would be the district, whatever district that you're in, that's there for your representative, which is so cool. That is so cool to be able to understand. It's like, my goodness. So when we hear Congress stand up and say that we believe that America does not want tax increases, that's pretty much what America's saying. That's why they're saying that. They're not saying that because they represent America. America's saying we don't want tax increases. We want less spending. And the problem is most Americans say, spend less except for where you're spending money on me.
That's right.
That is the difficult thing. Well, very good, very good. We'll move on while we're finding out who the representative is. That'll come up in a little bit. Okay, Pat.
That's still his turn.
Is it? Okay. John. He's good at keeping track of his
I only want more doozies.
Thanks, Pat.
No problem.
Here it is. Okay, for the U.S. citizenship test, and this is the only guy Tyson over here. The 4 out of 5 today. This is the fourth question. It's going to you, John, for the U.S. citizenship test. Who does a U.S. senator represent? Who does a U.S. senator represent? Let me say it again. Who does a U.S. senator represent?
The people from the state.
Hey, yes, so important, yes. Where you have, okay, listen. It is...
Keep playing that, go ahead.
It is where your House of Representatives only represent a district in your state, mm-hmm. you have two senators, we found that out, in each state. And both senators, even though sometimes they tend to represent a portion of that state, but they actually are represent all the members of that state. So these two senators, it's not wrong for you to hold them accountable and ask them to report to you about how they're representing you, both of them. And for example, though, we have two senators in the state of Florida that attend, you know, one senator tends to be loyal to Southern Florida and another one tends to be loyal to all of Florida. And really they should be loyal to the entire people because the senators represent the entire state. Their interest should be from border to border, as they say in Massachusetts up there. Okay, very good. Very good. All, everybody say all. All the people. So that means you. So it's okay for you to hold your senator accountable, despite how they may think that you shouldn't, to hold them accountable for how they're answering for to all the people. So you matter in your state. Here's the last question. Last question is going to Pat. For the USS citizenship test, and I guess your Samsonite's already packed right now. I'm not sure. Of course, it would be only two Saints T-shirts and a pair of jeans.
Nah, burn
it
those.
Could be one. I'm not sure. Those poor jeans. Okay, here it is. This is the question. Why do some states have more representatives than others? Why do some states have more representatives than others? Okay, that was great. Well, here we are, ready to go. This is the last question for today. Yeah,
he's on the draw. Let's see.
He's become a real fast typer on his keyboard and Google. He's confident, man. He's so confident. He didn't rub his head once or rub his beard once. Here it is. Why do some states have more representatives, which would be House representatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about?
Yeah.
Have more representatives than other states?
Because there's more because population.
Yeah.
I was trying to say because
one more
out.
Time. It was like population.
Because of the population difference.
Yay! Yes, exactly. And so, okay, listen.
One more time.
Listen. So that means if you're gonna throw a party for Senate, and you're gonna wonder how many chairs you're gonna need, mm-hmm. you pretty much always can figure that out, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think how small that gathering really is. It's 100 people. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 100 people, 100 men and women who are representing their states, supposed to be. You know, the sad thing is that the government lately is representing Washington, D.C. and the federal government more than they're representing the states.
Yep.
We got to fix that. That's why we're talking about the original intent. But then you go to the House of Representatives, and they're based on population. So just like Pat said, the reason why one state would have more representatives than another, it's not fair. It's the fact that there's more people there. So, for example, you know, you think about North Dakota. Was that like 1 million people?
If that, like 900,000.
Yeah, 100,000, a million people. And so, you know, they're not going to have as many votes in the House of Representatives. So when they pass a law, you know, inside of the House of Representatives, then, for example, just saying for an example, Nevada may only have one vote, you know, or, you know, say five votes. Uh-huh. But California may have 25 votes. And so California would have more of a say-so. The reason why is because there's more people in California, and the House of Representatives is based on the population of that particular state. So that's a very fair vote. So when we're looking at fairness in America, the House of Representatives is the closest we can get to what a fair thing would be. So when a president's going to be impeached, for example, it has to happen in the House of Representatives, I believe, because it is a fair vote of the people. When we see the House of Representatives for something or against something, that's primarily a good litmus test for America to understand where America is standing for. Yeah. And that's why they don't want these initiatives. They say, let's just take it to a vote. Let's just take it to a vote, because if they take it to a vote, then they find out exactly where America stands. So they don't want to take these things to a vote. So have Harry Reid, the leader of a Senate, who won't take things to a vote, or you'll have John Boehner not want to take things to a vote because the people may openly say, hey, and people that secretly support the federal government will be backed into a corner having to support their district if they openly have to put a vote out in front of everybody. We actually should say every single thing needs to be on a vote. You know, yeah. Every single thing. Bring it up for a quick vote. Put your little switch on your little desk and throw it up there. We want to find out, you know, are you voting for us? Are you representing us? It would save us a lot of, and much technology we have today, we could actually have an application on our phones that show us that day how you voted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and a little red alert that says, new person for this district. You think about it.
Yeah.
And that'd be great. That'd be totally awesome.
Yeah.
And then we could say, you know, why aren't you voting? You know, or they could ask us, you know, what's your opinion? And we could just push a little button on our app and they would understand this is how we're, you know, this is how you should support this or not support this. And that's a right thing because it's a representative government. We're doing so good. You guys did really good today on the U.S. citizenship tip. Think about it. There you go.
Hey.
Yes. We are moving right along on the U.S. citizenship test. You guys, we're learning with you, obviously. I mean, whoever you know, could name 435 members of the House of Representatives. And understanding is based on population. You know, somebody could have had some babies or something. It could have been 436, right?
That's right.
But it wasn't. It was 435.
Right.
And that's voting members because, you know, Washington, D.C., even though they have representatives, they can't vote. They can't vote, and there could be some other areas, maybe
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, because they are a territory, and they kind of like it that way, you know, so getting all the benefits, but the response.
Oh, no, they just voted. They just voted in Puerto Rico to say they want to become a state. So that has to now it's supposed to go up to, Congress or something.
Oh, my goodness. You're looking at probably, I would say, I mean, if our president, you're looking at 51 states. Man, I have to go back and resew all those flags in this star all those flags. Oh. Wouldn't that be something? Oh, my goodness. Well, y'all did a wonderful job. That'd be great to have the 51st state would be Puerto Rico. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. I think so.
I do, too.
Very cool.
I think I have a real great leader there. I got a chance to hear some speeches. It's a conservative leader, and he brought them out of the brink of real tough times there in Puerto Rico.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God
through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton. If you've missed us on any of our programs, feel free to catch all of the highlights, and you'll be thoroughly, thoroughly blessed. We've talked about so much today, but you know, I was reading in Ecclesiastes about how there's a time for everything, Pat. A time for everything. There's a season, and they come and they go and they change, but you know, sometimes you wonder, you know, where has all the time have gone to? Before you know it, you start looking at children, you start realizing, I remember when that child or that teenager was younger, and all of a sudden they keep growing up, and you say, well, if they're getting old, then maybe that means I'm getting older. And you start realizing time is just kind of flying by. Or maybe you've realized you haven't taken full advantage of the time that's in front of you. And maybe if you said, you know, there isn't enough time in a day, or like I said, you felt like time is flying by. I believe that both of those statements, you know, can be correct, especially, you know, in the time that we're living in today, because everything's just going so incredibly fast. And to me, just underscores the importance of, you know, being a good manager, a good steward of time. Because once it's gone, you can never get time back. That's the whole thing about time. Once it's finished, it's done.
That's it.
And God's entrusted us.
There's not a redo button.
No redo. And God's entrusted us with time. He says, okay, what are you going to do with this thing called time? And it's interesting how only God knows the day that, you know, what day you're going to be born and the day that you're going to die. And in between those two dates, what's in the middle of that are seconds, minutes, hours, you know what I'm saying, in years. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of on a countdown. Remember those old those hourglass things where you flip the sand and, you know, at the end of it, the sand would be done. And
yeah,
you did like timers. And then once they were done, it was done. Once the sand ran out, you know, you were done. And you went to you were playing board game or whatever. And okay, your time's up. And it's amazing. You see that sand moving. You think, man, it's going to take a little, you know, a long while before you know it's like, oh.
It's gone.
It's finished. And once your time is up, it's up. It's absolutely up. And we all have an allotted amount of time. And what you did or didn't do during that period of time is forever cemented in eternity. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you did is just stamped and that's it, and you can't take it out. And recently it said, there was a report that came out that said, Pat, that on average Americans spend 37 minutes a day on social media. 37 minutes a day.
Wow, I'm surprised. That would be more than that.
Well, think about that. I mean, almost 40 minutes.
That's still a lot.
That's a lot of time. I can do a lot with 40 minutes.
Yeah, really.
It's a higher time spent than any other major internet activity, including email. And you may think that you don't spend that much time, but before you know it, I mean, it's a lot of time that's wasted. I mean, that's not even including you know, time in front of the television, at time in wasteless, you know, wasteful, you know, just conversations and just chatter that just don't amount to anything. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, those, you know, all those hours add up. In fact, 37 minutes a day equates to about 17 hours a month that's spent just on social media. I mean, that's the equivalent of two full-time eight-hour days. For those that work 8 hours, some of us do more, but two eight-hour days, mm-hmm. that's the equivalent of two days a week. And you're thinking, my goodness, what's going on? Mm. And, you know, you hear people say, well, I don't have enough time. The truth is that we have plenty of time. There is plenty, plenty, plenty of time. The question, though, the real question here is, what are you doing with the time that you have? What are you doing with that time? Mm-hmm. You know, and the deeper question is there any accountability for that time? You know, at the end of the day, are you going to feel good or are you going to feel bad with how you spent it? You know, it's the most precious commodity that you have in your life is time. And we have to have an understanding, you know, of time so that we can begin to live a life, you know, live life in a way that truly counts. You can't begin to really start living a life that has any kind of significance if you don't have an understanding that, listen, you're not going to get these moments back. And I'm just amazed at the things that people do that they don't have any kind of, they don't connect the dots. It's like, dude, mm-hmm. you're living like you're going to live forever right now. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're not going to live forever. One thing about life is it is very uncertain. You know, the more I live and the more that I, you know, meet people and interact with mm-hmm. folks, the more I realize that, you know, strangely enough, people don't plan to have accidents. They just don't plan those, Pat. They're getting up, they're planning to go to work or on vacation, but they don't plan to have a car accident. You know, right. Things sometimes just happen, and it's amazing how one incident, one encounter on any given day can change your entire life forever. And once that period of your life is over with, it's done. I've known people that have worked at certain places and then they're not working there anymore and they think, oh man, mm-hmm. I was planning to do this and this and this at this particular place of employment, but I'm not there anymore. Or I plan to do this and this and that with this relationship and I said I'd get around to talking to that person and then the person moves away mm-hmm. or the person dies and it's like, wow, I will never get that chance again.
Right.
And it's amazing how we just kind of put things off. But Ecclesiastes says this, there's a time for everything, that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. There are set seasons and times in our life, and the question is, are we aware of the timing that we're living in? Are we aware of what season that we're in? Are we aware that once this time is spent, we're never going to get it anything, you know, we're not going to get it back. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about time, you want to think about times in terms of we're either investing time in things and in other, you know, others and believing for a return on the time that was sown, or we're either wasting time on things and others and we're never, ever going to see that time again.
Right.
So, either, you know, either investing or wasting. If you really start looking at your time that way, you start realizing am I getting anything out of what I'm doing right here? Like, these 37 minutes on Facebook, is this going to add any kind of significant value in my life? Mm-hmm. What could I do with 37 more minutes a day? You know, what could I really, really, really do? Or is this just wasted time? And your life today, when we think about our life, is basically the result of all the choices that we've made with the time that's been allotted to us. I mean, imagine the things that you can accomplish, the things that you can do if you plan to live your life with intentionality and purpose, understanding that, hey, I'm going to invest my time in the people and the things that matter most. You got to be a good steward of it. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's some people that you can invest time, but then there's some people that you could be wasting time. Because when you're getting together, the fellowship is not mutually beneficial. It's actually tearing down. It becomes a time of just wasteful, just thinking about nothing. And you think, really, do I need to be using my time this way? What can come out of this? Then there's other time that you invest with others, and you walk away and you say, wow, that was mutually encouraging. Mm-hmm. I walked away lifted. I deposited something in somebody else that blessed them. And every time we gather and we, because, you know, if we're spending time together, that means we're not spending time with other people or doing other things. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's not just free time, right?
Right.
You're planning that. And then you say, wow, it was worth it. This encounter, this time together is yielding great results for you know, the people involved and hopefully for the kingdom. And it's like, wow, this is good stuff. And so you got to realize, man, what am I doing? Because, mm-hmm. you know, regret is such a horrible, horrible, horrible word, you know, and experience, because you don't want to go back and say, man, you know, what's the deal? Like, you know, I've been at a lot of people's deathbeds. You know, I used to be a chaplain. I've shared about this before, you mm-hmm. know, on VFN radio. And it's amazing what happens when people are diagnosed with some sort of illness. I mean, imagine if the doctor just told you that you had 3 years to live. 3 years to live. Mm-hmm. How would you spend your time? When you really think about that, you have 3 years to live, mm-hmm. 365 days times 3, 1,000 days roughly, right? Mm-hmm. How are you going to spend those 1,000 days? It's amazing how a definitive time period truly helps us to come into a reality of things that matter most and also things that matter the least. All right, so you did 3 years. What if the doctor came in and said, you only have 3 months to live. Mm. It's 90 days. 90 days. How would you spend these last 12 weeks? How would you spend those days? What unfinished business would you rush to complete? Who would you be speaking with? And what would your end goal be if you only had 3 months to live? Pat, that's amazing, because you start realizing when you put a definitive time period, mm-hmm. you would say, well, I tell you right now, if I had 3 months, I'm not going to be spending on 37 minutes on Facebook. I'm going right. to, you know what I'm saying? Right. If I had 3 months to live, I'm going to start realizing, okay, what are my priorities? Mm-hmm. What are the things that matter most? What do I truly want to accomplish? Can I do it in this time period? Who do I want to speak with? Who do I want to share words with? Who do I want to make things right with? What do I want to do? Because time is ticking. The sand is going down. What am I going to do? All right. So what happens if the doctor comes in and says, you only have 1 day to live? Mm. You only have 1 day. 24 hours. How much of that time would it be spent on frivolous wasting? It's only the narcissist who would still be rushing to Facebook to allow the whole world to know that they would be dying soon, to eagerly anticipate to see how many likes or comments they're going to be receiving regarding their departure.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I've only got 10 hours left, mm-hmm. and I'm not, you know, going off on Facebook. Hey, you know, we've had Facebook. It's just something for us to really look at and think about, because I don't think that we spend enough time, you know, thinking about the things that matter most mm-hmm. and thinking about how we can spend time, which is really life, your precious life. You know, for the person that truly understands that this is entrustment, they see that life really, at this particular time that it's not about themselves. When you really understand time, you realize that, wow, at the end of this, I'm going to be held accountable. I'm going to be held accountable to what I did with those that I said were close to me. How did I invest my time or did I waste my time? Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to be held accountable to God. I mean, God allowed me to be born on a certain day, and then I was appointed for me to die. And in that span between those two dates, what did I do? What am I going to have to show for the time that was given to me?
Right.
And I'm amazed that some people that have less hours had they accomplished so much, and people that live long lives is like, that's all you did in 80 years? You know what I'm saying? That's all. Right. That's it. And so when we come back from this next, from our break, we're going to talk more about this so that we can actually seize the moment that we're living in and so that we can avoid that word called regret and make sure that we are investing and spending the time on things that matter the most and really get squeeze this thing called life like a sponge pad and get every last bit from it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right, VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
I was so tired, as we all are, when we're working nonstop and for what God has called us to do, and so we go to bed, we're tired, and so I was about to pass out. I was in bed, and it must have been, you know, the crack of 8. No, messing with you. No, it wasn't. It was late, and as I was laying there, it crossed my mind. My goodness. I'm only going to have a few more days left being in my 40s. I will not be in my 40s anymore.
No, that's turning. And
I'm thinking I will never look at myself the same anymore. I'm in my 40s. I'm like, but I'm so tired. And I'm like, well, maybe I can get out of bed and take a picture of myself to remember what I look like when I was in my 40s, you know? And I thought, I am way too tired. So I took one hand and went over and touched my other arm. I said, this is what I felt like when I was 40.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's amazing. I can't look. It just dawned on me last night.
It just hit you.
It just hit me because I've been so busy. This has been the busiest decade. Yeah, definitely. Do you get to relax when you're 50? Can you believe that? 50.
Wow.
50.
Yeah, I know. And it just because you know things in your head in regards to it. And you just don't have time to really, you know, do much in regards to when we're working. We're trying to save the world, trying to save as many people as we can before catastrophe hits. And so I just paused and just realized, my goodness, mm-hmm. I'm going to be not in my 40s anymore.
No.
You'll be half of 100.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about today's program, I am going to just walk through the community and say, look at me. This is what I look like in my 40s.
Right.
And I thought, well, hey, I'm on television around the world. Yeah. So this is what I look like in my 40s.
There it is.
It will be disappearing soon. Mm-hmm. And but isn't that amazing? It's totally amazing. But I understand the 50s. I mean, this is a huge, think about this, that something happened in 1963. So many things converged in that year. Even William Brannan got his vision in 1963.
Wow.
Of the seven angels of God, you know, the seven spirits of God that's in his right hand. And it happened in 63. I have a dream speech where the apostle of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Began to share about a mountaintop experience and the dream that he's seen America coming into a better place. The assassination of a president, John F. Kennedy, on the very same day. But I was born in 1963.
Mm. Same day.
Same day, same hour, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. I just can't even name all the writer, Screw Tape, Screw Letters.
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, on the very same day, November 22nd, 1963, that he passed. And people are bringing this to me. I didn't know all this. But 50 represents Jubilee, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're just going to hold on to that.
That's right.
We're going to hold on to that one. You know, and Jubilee is a very exciting thing because Jubilee is when no matter where you are, if it's exercised appropriately, then all the debt's forgiven. You enter into a time of rest. Everything rests. And you're able to just relax, and the soil begins to replenish itself, I think, over 7 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to hang on to Jubilee.
Hey,
I'm going to celebrate.
Good.
But, you know, once you're not in your 40s anymore, you're not in your 40s anymore. So I'm thinking, I really thought about this. This is something that probably Steve would think about. Yeah, I'm gonna get out of bed and take a picture of myself so I can remember what I look like at my 40, right?
Is that what Steve does?
Yeah,
is that
right?
Okay.
He don't have
Steve.
A mic. He said, "Yeah, that's what he said." He said, "Yeah."
Well, I'm not even in my 40s, so I don't even know what that's like. That's
take a picture.
Wow, I'm not even.
Yeah, take a picture.
Wow. Are you?
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, jeez.
You're not in your 40s?
No.
You act like you're 60.
No.
Are you serious?
I'm not.
I didn't know I was going to be. You're serious? I thought you were.
No, that's next year.
Ain't that something? He'd be walking around like an old man.
I know, right?
We've been giving him the special parking space. You know,
give me the keys back.
You know, you just got to pick up some more weight around here. I'm like, Mike, us old folks, man. We're trying to do something.
I'm just trying to hang on.
Ain't that something? I thought you had already.
No.
Oh, we're gonna roast you. We're gonna roast you.
So
everybody that's listening right now, Maria, anybody out there that's listening, we want pictures, photos, videos, testimonies.
Great.
His 40th birthday coming up. I just want to celebrate my 40s because tomorrow I will no longer be in my 40s.
That's right.
That's right.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Touch me now, man. Touch me now. This is it. It's over. It's over.
Totally over.
It's over.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Speaking of birthdays, Pat, my goodness. I know that Chris just had a birthday just this weekend. And,
That's right.
We had a chance to celebrate. And
how old is he now?
Well, he's the big 4-0.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, half of 80. Half of 80.
Oh.
And we're glad he doesn't have a mic today. But, we had some videos and some pictures.
Oh, we did.
You know, if we can get a chance somehow to make those available to you, we are going to work hard. I don't know how we can do this. I have to.
I think we can make this happen.
You think you can make this happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he was such a cute little boy, wasn't he?
What happened? No. I'm kidding.
No, he told me he still looked good. He told me.
That's right. He did. He yelled it very loudly.
Yeah, he yelled it real loud. But we had a wonderful, wonderful time celebrating with Chris. And like I said, maybe we can share with you some of those wonderful pictures. He had black candles on his cake, by the way. Black candles.
Well, you know, match this cake.
Oh, okay. Well, before the break, we were talking about time and being a good steward. And Chris has seen a lot of time go by. He's seen a lot of time go by. Yeah. And
more than most.
more than most. And we're talking about the importance of it. You know, how do you invest it or are you wasting it? How 37 minutes a day right now is being spent on, you know, the average American is spending on Facebook and social media. And at the end of the day, my goodness, you want to know, listen, I don't want to have any regrets. What did I do with this precious commodity called time? And then we went through several scenarios, you know, of the doctor sharing with you, listen, what would you do if you had, a year left to live? How would you spend that year? And what if you had 90 days to live? How would you spend a quarter of a year, 12 weeks? What would you do? What if you had one day, 24 hours? What would be your priorities? How would you sleep in a little extra? Would you get up?
Right.
You know, and it helps us to think about it. And I encourage you to go through this process. Write it out. You know, write it out. Think about this. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is how we invested our time in others and how we invested our time with God and in his kingdom. We only have a certain amount of time to live, Pat. Just a certain amount of time, and nobody knows. You know, I've seen so many accidents in life, you know, being a chaplain, and folks that were going on vacation and going different places, they never expected to get into a car accident. They never expected to pass away shortly, or a child to pass away. Everyone has this idea that they're going to grow old one day. They like to think that they're going to grow old and, you know, live forever. But, you know, we're not promised a long life. We're not promised, you know, that we're going to live forever. All we have are moments. All we have is what we have today. It's just saying that you know, yesterday is over with and tomorrow may never come. All we have is today, and that's why they call it the present. And it really helps you to realize, you know, am I living the purpose that God has set out, you know, for me? Am I really ministering to those that God has put around me? Of the 6 billion people that live all over the world, why has God allowed me to live in this city? You know, on this street, in this neighborhood, why am I a part of this fellowship? What am I to add to this group of people? Or are we just taking and just spending, you know? Mm-hmm. Because when it's all done, it's like, wow, you know, I every time I've worked at a place, or even I just left New Jersey, I felt so good, Pat, being able to leave New Jersey saying, you know, I didn't say not, oh, I wish I would have done just one more thing or spoken to one more person. Mm. I really felt like I invested that time wisely, and by the grace of God, I was able to squeeze all those opportunities for the Lord. I want to encourage you to do the same today. Realize, hey, I'm not going to waste my time anymore on anything that's going to rob me away from my destiny in the Lord. Instead of wasting time on frivolous things, I'm going to jump all in the Word of God this year, make a commitment to abide, to study God's Word, to spend time with Him in prayer, and giving my life to those who need to know Him. I want to encourage you, go through that process today. Don't wait for the doctor to give you a diagnosis. Do a checkup right now. The Bible says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. Give thought. Get a checkup from the neck up and see how you're investing that time. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Oh my goodness, Auntie's. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.